For many, many people, Easter is very, very similar to Christmas. It's time off, it's a holiday time, it's a celebration, but not really knowing the kind of true meaning behind these times. And eggs are good, Easter bunny, and I get all that. It's a lot of fun stuff, it's brilliant. But sometimes the truth, the real truth, can be lost in all this. And so people who have never heard truth and never heard it communicated regarding Jesus being living and alive today end up kind of developing their own belief system. And these belief systems, these false theories that I'm just going to ask Kerry if she'll just put up on the board, these have been going on for a long, long time, these false theories. Number one, here we go. This is a bit of an apologetic thing this morning, but I don't know about you, but I love to work things out. I love these little puzzles, and I love to work things out, and I've got to get it. I'll spend hours doing stuff. But number one, people say that they went to the wrong tomb. Only 72 hours earlier, the women were there. How did they forget? I know we've got a bad memory, but surely they could not forget where the tomb was in 72 hours. Peter and John, when they ran to the tomb, that's why I showed that clip, did they run to the wrong tomb? Did they enter into the wrong one? Then we've got the angel sat over the tomb, the angel in the tomb. And this is what the angel said. Come and see where the Lord did lay. Surely the angel didn't get it wrong as well. Peter and John surely didn't get it wrong. And I don't think the women got it wrong. And all the religious people had to do were go to the right tomb, produce the body, and then nip all this resurrection preaching in the bud. It'll have stopped everything. But people have been trying for over 2,000 years to stop the preaching, the teaching, the sharing of Jesus' resurrection. Some philosophers, some really clever guys, and nobody has been able to do it. So, first false theory, they went to the wrong tomb. The second one, you'll never believe this. People say that maybe the people who saw Jesus hallucinated. Now, I don't think they had magic mushrooms and they were snorting in them days. They could have been. But no two people alike hallucinate. And I'm just going to mention these people. They were a very mixed group. You're looking at Matthew, collector of tax. You're looking at Thomas, who were a doubter. You're looking at the different moods they were in. Peter were absolutely, he were in a right mess, were Peter, and the mood that he were in. You're looking at Mary. Mary were crying. She couldn't even recognize Jesus when she saw him. And the disciples, they went fishing. This was early in the morning. Two people on a road going towards Emmaus. Jesus appeared and he met with these people. 500 people at a time at the side of the mountain. Surely 500 people cannot hallucinate all at the same time. So to me, I can't believe that. I can't believe that they went to the wrong tomb. I cannot believe that all these people hallucinated. It's just absolutely ridiculous. But some people would believe this rather than Jesus being alive. Now, it gets a little bit more meatier as we go along, because people then say, I don't think Jesus died. I think he was just half conscious. I think he only looked dead. And actually, when they put him in the tomb, he kind of revived because of the coolness of the tomb. So people who think this and who say this and still say this over the years say that Jesus then got out of the tomb. And I've got a few issues and a few problems with this. Number one, it says that blood and water came out when that centurion, that Roman guard, shoved the spear up into Jesus' side. The blood and water came out. The doctors nowadays would say that if that happened, then this man would have been dead. You're looking at a centurion, a well-experienced man in crucifixion, looked up at Jesus and said to everybody else, this man is dead. A well-experienced guy. The women who brought spices, they brought spices to embalm a dead body. The other thing is the soldiers usually brought the legs of all these people who were crucified just to make sure that they were dead. But they looked at Jesus and they realized that he was dead, which is actually a fulfillment of Old Testament prophecy, that his legs would not be broken. That's really powerful. So they didn't break his legs. Then you've got Jesus himself who said, "I am he that lived and was dead, but I'm alive forevermore." So this is his own testimony, that I died. So people who actually think this, that Jesus was just half conscious and he got out of the tomb. So I thought, right, okay, what if he did? Let me just go along with this. What if he did? How could he survive after being beaten and whipped? I mean, he was just an absolute wreck. He was a mess. And then they crucified him. So on top of all, everything is beaten, he's got the crown of thorns, he's just a physical wreck. They beat Jesus badly. Then they crucified him. Where's he going to go for medical attention? There's no nurses. Where did he go for warmth? Where did he go for food? Who on earth did he go to? Number two, how did he wriggle out of the grave clothes without making a mess? Because you'll find it says that even the napkin that covered his head, it was folded. It was folded up. I'm going to come to that a little bit later on. That was folded up. How did he move the stone? Because in Matthew and in Mark, it says that this stone were quite a big, heavy stone. So is Jesus inside the tomb? This is how ridiculous it is, but people believe it. That he were unconscious and he got to the front of the tomb and he rolled away this incredible, massive stone. And then he got past the guards. It's laughable, really, but people actually believe this. And if a guard would have been caught asleep, it was a death penalty in that day. So I thought, right, okay, let me just play along with this. If he'd have got out, where did he go? I've written a few things down. To his disciples? If Jesus had got out of the tomb, so he hadn't died, he's just revived, he figured out the tomb, rolled away the stone, and he went to his disciples. Do you know what I think the disciples thought? I think they would have been floored. Of everything that they knew of Jesus, this man who walked on the sea, this man who calmed a storm, this man who could deliver and heal and do incredible things, I reckon that their faith, it would have absolutely destroyed them, that this Jesus, so broken, and if it had gone to him, I think it would have actually crushed their enthusiasm. And how could they preach and teach knowing that Jesus was a fraud? How could they do that? I don't think they'd be able to say anything unless he'd actually died and rose again. Some people say maybe the disciples stole the body. Here we go. How did they get past the guards? And if the guards went to sleep, they'd have been put to death if they'd have been caught. So surely, even if there were four guards, one of them would have stayed awake, just in case the governors were coming to nudge everybody else to wake up. I can't see these guards all falling asleep so Jesus can just get out. Why were the disciples not arrested if they had the body? I don't think these disciples were in any frame of mind. When we read about these disciples, the penny hadn't dropped that Jesus would rise again from the dead. They were in a room, they were petrified, they were scared. They didn't really know what was going on. That's why Jesus had to spend time with them 40 days after he'd risen again from the dead. So I don't think they will have been in any frame of mind at all. When you look at Pentecost, when you look when they were together, when you look at Jesus spending them 40 days with his disciples, and when the Spirit came, and the Spirit filled him with the life and the power of Jesus Christ, wow, what a difference. They were totally opposite to what they were. When you think about how fiery they were, they weren't being afraid of being arrested. They weren't even afraid of dying. They were absolutely full on, and not one of them denied the resurrection of Jesus. Not one of them. So something happened here. And then we've got later, this came in a few years ago, what about the Jews? Maybe the Jews stole the body. Well, if that, it's a no-brainer, really. All they had to do was to go to another tomb, get the body of Jesus, put it on a horse and cart, parade it through the street and say, stop preaching all this nonsense about the resurrection because he's here. That's all they had to do. And even now, the Jews, some Jews, cannot explain the empty tomb of Jesus. They can't do it. And somehow people find it really difficult to come to terms with truth. Peter and John ran to the tomb. John not got there first. He looked in and he saw and believed. Wow, the evidence. What overwhelming. He's not there. He kind of looked in and he believed. I've spoken to many agnostics and many atheists over the years. And I often say to people in conversation when out for a meal, when you look around you, even at creation and what you see, you must have a lot of faith not to believe. Because it's just God's, his handiwork is everywhere. The proof of his resurrection in the disciples, in the start of the church, to where we are now. And even Jesus himself said, I will build my church. Then he also says this, because I live, you shall live also. So folks, this is nothing to do with a figment of our imagination. This is nothing to do with sometimes just what we read. It is the reality of Jesus alive and living in who he said that he was. Easter is an incredible time of the year. I want to just close by telling you a little story from a man called Augustine. And those who love the history, you'll know who Augustine is. Augustine wasn't a Christian at this time, and he'd experimented with life, and he'd done all kinds of stuff. He got himself wrapped up with all kinds of things that he shouldn't have done. And he realized there was an empty man, and that the risen Jesus wanted to fill him with life and with purpose. And one day he was sat in a garden and he was sobbing and he kind of prayed and he prayed to God and he says, God, if you're there, he says, when will you put an end to my shame? And when he'd finished saying that, he could hear the children next door. They were singing a song in Latin. And this is what they were singing, tole lege, tole lege. And it actually means pick up and read. And he picked up the New Testament and he began to read. And God spoke to him through this verse. And it says, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think of how to gratify your sinful desires. And then he prayed for the first time in his life to this risen Jesus. And he kind of repented and he turned from all that he knew were wrong and he received this risen Jesus into his life and he became a new man. And this is what he said. My shame and my sin and my emptiness has gone. There's only Jesus can do that. Because he's paid that price. And Augustine, through that, became a very influential man in church history. This morning, folks, I don't know where you are. You might believe in Jesus. The devil believes, and it says that he trembles. Folks, believing is not enough. Jesus has not just gone through all that for you and I just to believe. John chapter 1 verse 12, it says these words, to as many as received him, to them he gave the right or the power to become children of God. And so this risen Jesus wants to meet with you. That's the whole reason why he's alive, so that you and I can get beyond religion into a relationship with him. It's beautiful.